Hello and welcome to the Beads and Bulldust podcast. I'm Aiden and this is my dad.
Hi, yep, it's Scott. Welcome to episode number 31, the Easter Monday special.
We're in the 30s now.
We're in the 30s, yep.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's cracking along. It's going really well. So, yeah, it is Easter Monday. We didn't do one on Easter Sunday because we were having too many chocolates. Well, Aiden was anyway. Couldn't get him away from his chocolate box. And so I guess what's been happening with you with your holidays?
I got a game yesterday.
Mm.
What was the day before? But excuse me.
Too much soft drink.
It took a while to download. I keep forgetting the name of it though. It's not a really memorable name.
Is it this something?
I keep forgetting. It's so
disillusioned, disorientated. No,
I don't even.
It's some sort of tactical game, anyway.
Because it's just so unforgettable.
Yeah.
Division. There we go. Division 2.
Division 2.
Somehow forgot that. So I got the Division 2. I've been playing it. It's fun. It's basically like Mass Effect. Originally, I thought it was going to be more like Borderlands. It kind of is with, you know, looting and picking up guns, and you just keep finding versions that are better than what you already have.
Mm.
But yeah, I say it's sort of like Borderlands, sort of, but more like Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
The UI and everything, and the way the game works, it's that type of like
third
person, because Borderlands is first person.
Yep.
This is more like Mass Effect because it's third person shooter. You go around on an open map.
Mm-hmm.
You can do missions and side missions and.
Yep.
You know, you just find guns, and they're all the same. It's either a shotgun, or it's a rifle, or it's an SMG.
Mm-hmm.
There's different versions, and you just find ones that are better. So you could have, like, an AK and another AK, but one's better. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's been fun.
All right. Cool. You're not going off at it as much as some games, so it can't be that bad.
As Gran Turismo.
As Gran Turismo. Because I've been going off at the Gran Turismo as well. It's trying to do... They have done the update to put the endurance races on there, and... They are freaking frustrating.
I'm doubting
and hard.
If it's even a sim. So it's a sim racer, right?
Yep.
In what dimension can a person driving a car go from 16th position all the way to first in a Ford Focus against Group B rally cars?
Because the others didn't have their eyes on? Or something.
No one can do that, even in like the same car as everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
But Gran Turismo is like, you just gotta do it. Just be good.
Well, and the enduros are the complete opposite of that, because it is, you know, it's probably not impossible. It's got to be possible to some degree. But you know, I was pushing my way through one enduro, and it was a bit of, you know, dry weather, rain. You know, it's very predictable in the enduros. It comes on at a certain time. And I did my tire allocations and choices really, really well, and I still couldn't beat, like, the leaders. You know, I still ended up 15 or 16 seconds behind after an hour.
Yeah.
So it is, the enduros are incredibly difficult, and the more frustrating part is that they can't get the blue flag methodology to work properly in that game.
Or any of the flags.
Any of the flags, like yellow flag, doesn't seem to matter. Like, you slow down for a yellow flag like you're meant to, and they treat it like you're a supercar driver and go, what yellow means go faster, and you just, like, you slow down because there's a crash somewhere and everyone passes you, and it's like,
I just keep passing. I just don't even care, because it doesn't do anything.
No, now I don't. I'm just like, ah, fuck it, I can see where he is. Yeah, and sometimes I'll be waving, you know, the yellow, and the car's already gone, and it's like, I don't think you can revert quicker than that. But the blue flags are what pisses me off the most, because you've got, like, I had a backmarker who was four laps down trying to do an all-or-nothing braking pass on me and speared me off the road. And it's like, what does it matter if you're going to pass fifth place? You're four laps down, you goose. Stay where you are. Like, it just... He got the blue flag, and I got around him. He didn't get out of the way. I got around him. And then the very next corner, because I had to go wide to get around him, he had to run on me, and then he tried to spear me off the road. I'm like, It doesn't work that way. If you're being blue flagged, you're not meant to go and spear people. You're meant to get your ass out of the way.
That's my problem with the game is flags do nothing. There's no penalties. The AI are all aggressive. They're not in the sense of overtaking you, in the sense of they're going to fucking hit you off the road.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a five-year-old trying to pass you. Yeah.
It's like GT Sport online, but it's not even online anymore. It's just the AI.
Yeah, the AI. I think the AI learned from Sport and just went, oh, well, that's how you pass someone. You just go right up beside them and you hit them when they're in the braking zone. That's how it happens. So
yeah, and like there's no restrictions. Like, and I also wish there was like you could start in a position above 16th or above all the way in dead last every single time. It's annoying.
What I'd prefer to see as a good compromise is in any of the more longer endurance races, right? Say it's any more than like 20 laps. To have like even just a 5 minute qualifying session,
yeah.
So you can throw down a couple of laps, and then go off your qualifying position. If I qualify in 16th or 20th, then fine, that's my own doing. But they did it, I think, in 6. You could qualify for some races, and that made a big difference.
You can do it on Sport when you play on an online server. You can do qualifying as well.
Yeah.
But they don't put it in the normal game for some reason.
Which they should do. For those longer races, those 1 hour races,
yeah,
you should be able to qualify.
Yeah.
Like just going, based on what your car is, you're 16th. It's like the category I got put last in, all the cars, all of them are identical. You can't change it or mod it or do anything to it. It has to have the horsepower it came with. It has to have the weight it came with.
Yeah.
And it's a mono, it's a VAC mono, and I got put last. I'm like, how the fuck does that work? My car's no better than everyone else, and I'm facing AI. I'm probably shit compared to those guys.
Yeah,
might as well put me first. Like, they're all gonna pass me. So there's just parts of that which I find frustrating. I know it's meant to be a challenge, and I know it's meant to be difficult. It's not meant to be an easy game, and a game you can, you know, win quickly.
Yeah.
But to go up in the first, you know, enduro in a MX-5, I think an MX-5 Roadster, and freaking have your ass handed to you doesn't really give you much motivation to do all 10 of them.
Yeah.
And you've only got to come 15th to get bronze, right? And that's the thing I have to get in my head, because you get bronze, you get 300,000 credits.
Yeah.
For bronze.
Yeah.
To come 15th, which you can do quite easily. Get silver. Like I think 5th is a fair bit harder, and you've got to win to get gold.
Yeah.
It's the only option. I don't think I'm getting gold in that game.
Yeah.
It'll be the first Gran Turismo, I think, where I won't get golds in things, because it's just too fucking hard.
Because, I mean, I'm okay with, you know, I'm not going to be able to come first every single time. Yeah. That's realistic. But then, like, you in that game, you have, like, with the thing I'm doing right now, you know, you have to come at least.
Well, sorry, I'll take that phone out. That's probably my phone being connected to the silly little module. Hang on.
That was loud.
Bluetooth disconnected.
There we go. Bluetooth disconnected. Thank you, system.
Yeah, like, to get the car that I need to move on, I need to collect these cars and win these races. I need to come at least third. Yep. So I've got to go from dead last to at least third, which is just too hard to do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, some of it is they've just overdone the difficulty just a little bit, because I'm only playing on normal.
Yeah, so
not like hard. If I was playing on hard, I go, yeah, okay, fair dues. That's I'm getting my ass handed to me. That's fair.
Yeah.
In normal, fucking hell, I'm tempted to put the game back to easy.
I don't want to. I don't want to, but I might have to.
Just to get stuff.
Because it's like, if it wasn't, I have to win to get this thing. I'd be like, okay, well, I'm in. You know, 15th from 16th to like 10th, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But it's like, I've got to go from dead last all the way to first. Like, I'm fucking
An
expert F1 racer racing in go karts.
Yeah. Or, you know, you're meant to be like a top level pro driver, and they give you a Fiat 500 as your racing car to take on Corvettes and Mustangs and stuff. Like, it's just, some of it's just like fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And especially, I think one of those races had to do with where I had a Beetle and I was taking on combis. And it was, the hill was so steep that they were going up. I had to change down a gear to get up the hill.
Yeah.
Just to get up the hill, just by myself. It actually changed down. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. I reckon it's a sim game, but they're missing a lot of parts that just make it a sim game. It's like they've got the physics and stuff. Like, good on you. You've had that since the fucking PlayStation 1.
Yeah.
But now, like, can we have the other stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, like the car physics and the way the cars sound and respond and stuff like that.
That's all good.
I'm happy with that. They do what you would expect them to do in the environment. It's everything else around it where it's just like, fucking, in what universe? But anyway, hopefully, future updates, they improve it and not continually fuck it up like they've done.
I would move to another sim racer, but the other ones that I've played are shit.
Yeah.
I got Project Cars 2.
Mm.
I don't know if there's like Project Cars 1 and 2 are bad and then 3 they did it and good. Mm. But it's just like, so you know when, you know, if you brake and churn, you lock up the brakes, right?
Yep.
In Gran Turismo, you can sort of brake and churn, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of can sometimes. Yeah. In this game, if you put your foot slightly on the brake, there's no steering at all. There's nothing. You can't turn the car at all. So you have to come up to a corner, make sure you're going the exact correct speed.
Because
everyone in the AI or whatever are fucking flying past.
Yep.
Because they're doing it absolutely perfectly because they're AI.
Yep. Yeah.
I've got to try and do it absolutely perfectly, but I'm not an AI. And it was terrible. I haven't played it since. I fucking hate that game.
Yeah, they They can make a mess of it. They can. In other elements of news, we're currently, especially here in Queensland, partway through our 4 weeks of short weeks, that I call them, which is good for me because I have to work a full week. So because of all the public holidays, I have 4 weeks where I only really have to work four days a week. And some of those are three because I'm taking days off as well.
Do I not have to go to school?
No. So we've already had, like, last week was a four-day week because we had, you know, Good Friday, but you're on holidays.
Yeah.
This week, we also got today off, so it's a short week.
Yeah.
Through to the end of the week. And then next Monday is Anzac Day, so that's a short week.
Yeah.
And the following Monday is Labor Day, so that's a short week. So the start of the school term is going to get very fucking little done because you're going to miss every Monday for a little while, for about 3 weeks. But anyway, that's we're putting us in line, I think, with Finland's fucking work ethic of 4 days a week.
Yeah.
So we can try that out and see how that goes for our economy. On to car news. So the BMW X7, the new X7, the 2023 X7.
Is that the SUV?
Mm.
With the big ass grille?
Yes. And the porn mode.
Huh?
Have you seen the little extension things below where the headlights were? It's on the really new one. The Alpina looks worse. Alpina, I think, actually. Not an Alpina.
So what is the X...
X7. But it's the 2023 X7. They don't show it in too many of the angles, but when you look at it, like, front on...
Oh.
It's really hard to see, but when you look at it front on, because of the way the lights and the grill are, and I don't know if they're lights or grill, or they're just grill. I don't know. There's so much happening on that car. I fucking don't know. But it looks like it's got, like, hangers over the side of its lips. It looks like it's got, like, a proper fucking, you know, fucking full-on...
I don't like this...
porno type stuff. There's just so much fucking happening on it. I'm like, I don't know.
I don't like this. We're going back to an 80s type thing, because if you think of the 80s car at the moment, they're dated, okay? Yep. They've got taillights that half of it is just a red piece of plastic.
Yep.
They're all boxy. We're going back to this boxy look.
Yeah, they're
pretty... So another 20 years, they're going to look really, really dated.
Yeah, they're going to look very shit.
And this really thin headlight trend looks so fucking bad.
Yeah, yeah, it does. And to me, it just makes it look like it's got a mo.
It's like it's squinting really hard.
I mean, there's some upsides to it. Like, the V8 as bog standard, not the Alpine version, but bog standard, 350 kilowatts.
That's all right if it didn't weigh 3 tons.
It weighs 2.5.
The power-to-weight ratio is terrible.
It's shit, yeah. 4.4-litre V8, 350 kilowatts. Apparently, the Alpine one can do 400 and something kilowatts, but anyway, that's just how they do it. It won't be any faster because it's an Alpine version, so... And it still has the old ZF gearbox. Like, the old ZF gearbox has been around forever and a freaking day. So, apparently they've got a new one coming. On to other news. Toyota have announced that the GR Supra will be available in manual.
Oh! That's good.
That's good news. It's coming to Australia and the US in manual.
That's going to make a lot of people happy, because when they released the GR version, which was just, I don't know, the 2021 one,
yeah,
they had in the ad, because, well, let me explain this whole thing. So, for a little while, Toyota was against, like, street racing and stuff.
Yep.
And they didn't have any Toyotas in any games that had street racing.
Yep.
Gran Turismo was fine because it was circuit racing.
Yep.
Like, Forza's Need for Speeds didn't have any Toyotas. Mm-hmm. And then they made this ad, and I think they sort of went against that and like, oh, it's fine now. Because yep. in their ad, they had street racing and drifting and stuff. And the guy was like pretending to shift, but it's an auto.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
had a shot of him shifting, but it's like, it's what are you auto. Doing? Yeah. You're putting it in fucking
yeah.
S1.
Yeah, yeah. That's just silly. yeah, so they have announced. They did a social media campaign post thing, and they're like, you've spoken and we've listened, and there's a picture of a manual
yeah.
transmission. But they need to do it to take on the new Nissan Z.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be manual.
Which I can't stand.
You don't like it?
I've seen pictures of the new... What's wrong with its grill?
It's got an old-style grill. It's got
It's massive and square. It's like someone's
it's
just...
It's not that big. It's an optical illusion. It's actually the same sort of size as, like, the really old Zs. Mm. But they've got a bit underneath it.
Yeah.
Like the old Zs, but it's all black, so it looks like
yeah,
one big one.
Yeah, it just... I seen a picture of one, and I'm like, what happened? Did they... It looks like they've forgotten to put a grill in it, and they've needed to fit one in, and old mate's just gone with a hacksaw at the front, and he's just gone, I'll just cut down here, and then down the other side, and along the bottom, and the top, and hey, there we go, grill.
I reckon it's fun, though. Like, in terms of Z, it looks more like a Z than the 370-350.
I agree it does, and I like the tail lights.
Yeah, it's got like the 300.
Yeah, it's got like a retro style remake of the 300SX
yeah.
tail lights, which I like. I reckon they look properly cool.
Yeah.
But the front of it, when I saw that, I didn't even realize yeah. the headlights look a little bit wonky until I saw looked past the grill. But the first thing I saw when I looked at that car was this hole in the front of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, that's a big grill. But anyway, it's that will be an interesting matchup, like the Nissan Z
yeah.
and the GR Supra, and as a manual, that's going to be a very tight tussle, I reckon, between those two cars.
It's good to see these sort of coming back really
yeah,
well.
Yeah, both yeah, manual yeah. There's, and everything. There's not enough two-door cars around, I reckon. There really isn't. It's like the mid-size sedan. There's not enough of those around.
And they aren't doing what Nissan's done and churned their GTR into a supercar.
Mm-hmm.
That's like $100,000. These yep. are going to be affordable.
Yep.
These are
yep.
just proper sports cars still.
Yep. Yeah.
And they
yeah.
see people compare like, oh, look at the Supra. It's only got this much power and the GTR's got that. But it's like...
They're not the same car.
They're not the same car anymore.
You're not comparing apples with apples. You're comparing apples with an apple on fucking steroids. Like, they're not the same thing. So that's the end of the car news. A little bit on the election news. So I thought I'd cover off a few things on election news. Albo... So Mr. Albanese.
If you shorten his name,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
actually anal.
Yeah, yeah, that's why they won't do a ScoMo on yeah, Anthony Albanese, because it's yeah, a
anal.
That won't look good in the media. Anyway, he went to the Blues Fest at Byron Bay. So they have a big Blues Fest there. And they had this grand idea that he was going to introduce Jimmy Barnes to the crowd, right? And start off with Working Class Man or some fucking thing like that. Like, a shit concept. Anyway, he got up on stage. Half the crowd cheered for him. The other half booed for him. and it got worse and worse until he introduced Jimmy Barnes and he came out and started singing. But there's heaps of pictures of a lot of people just going, the fuck you doing? Like, the one thing you don't do at, like, a blues fest like that is get up there as a politician.
Yeah.
Right, and say anything at all. Because it's Byron Bay, so you know, unless you're talking about, you know, making drugs legal and you know, freedom and all that type of stuff, then you're probably not going to get much say in there. They did it as a ploy because he has an arts interest and their arts policy and what they intend to do with arts in the country is quite strong. It sort of didn't work.
Yeah.
He just ended up. And some of the videos is very damning in a few occasions because people managed to video it at the exact time he was being booed. Although that wasn't the entire time, apparently. And apparently, according to Jimmy Barnes, some of the support acts get booed off stage. So it's not uncommon. It's pretty, but you know, you just don't do that. On to ScoMo. So right before the election was called, ScoMo did his Why I Love Australia video, right? Him sitting at a fucking chair in Parliament House acting like he's just one of us sitting down having a beer and a fucking durry or something. I don't know. But anyway, he tried to give it a go. In that, he claimed that his government saved 40,000 people from the COVID. It's one of his claims. I call bullshit.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't even get all the premiers to agree from day one. They couldn't, you know, deliver vaccines on time. They weren't adequately prepared. They didn't make adequate travel changes quickly enough. It wasn't fair and balanced. There's a lot of things that you go, you say you might have saved 40,000 in that one instance, but you killed like 90 in your second take. So, you know, apples with apples. Anyway, that's sort of been called into dispute, and I think that would be a very hard number to claim and hold as a federal government.
So that's one of the only reasons he loves Australia, is because his government did something?
But yeah, his government helped people through the bushfires, not him, because he wasn't here. his government helped with floods, not him, because, again, he was fucking somewhere else. And it wasn't the government that actually did that, it was the Defence Force. Bear in mind, right? And then Defence Force is not the government. Anyway, there's a lot of things that they reckon they've done, and that they are, you know, they are Australia's only choice. And it's fucking wrong. You've got about a billion choices. But that's where that stands. As it really overall currently stands, apparently ScoMo's got a lead on anal. so don't know how that's going to work, but anyway, they'll keep cracking along.
Why is there no, like, people with mullets that run for prime minister? Because they would get in, like, instantly.
Yeah, well, I think it comes down to, like, when you look at the major parties, you have to be put forward by people in the party, and the party has to say yes to you running, so you can't rock up.
You have to be a wanker.
Yeah, so you can't rock up and go, hey, I want to be a Labour candidate, I'm just going to go and do that. You can't. The party has to actually endorse you and support you and get you through, and they, neither of them will always go with people that can get the biggest coverage overall. And generally, your biggest swaying points are your people into your 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. Like, your younger generations are not that swayable. They'll either just go on the day whoever's got the best looking flyer or something like that. There's not that many interested in politics. As you get older, you get a bit more interested because you start to fucking realize that these gooses can, you know, give you, you know, effectively a better life for the next 3 years or a shit one, depending on what you do and where you work. So it does matter when you get older, because the impacts are bigger. When you're younger, you don't give a fuck. Like, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
Don't hold any power, so it don't matter. So it's just like that. The other issue, other hot topic, is they're about 100,000 staff short for polling day. So on polling day, you need a whole stack load of people, right? Tick your name off on the register. They give you your pieces of paper. Old mate tells you where to go and stand and type and write like you haven't done it for the last 30 years. You know, all that type of shit, someone to tell you which box it goes into, even though they're huge and marked clearly, you know, all those types of things.
Yeah.
People to count them, people to usher people around, you know, people to help old ladies who have forgotten what to do, you know, all of that type of stuff. They're 100,000 people short.
I'll do it if I get paid.
No, I think you need to be 18.
Oh.
I think. But if you are unemployed and you want a bit of work around election time, they pay about $26 an hour. Just short at $26 an hour.
How long do you actually work though?
Depending on the role. So some of them will start at 7 a.m. and you finish at 11 p.m.
Jeez.
So a big day. Big day. But that's a fucking shitload of hours. That's about $300 you'll make on the one day.
Jeez.
So good bit of a side hustle if you want to give that a whirl. You just go on the Australian Electoral Commission and you have a look there and you register in your area. If you live in a rural area, remote area, you're more of a chance of getting a job because you can't fucking find people out there. So you live fucking out in Dingo or something, I don't know, you probably get a job. Easy. One day's work, $300, straight up. thanks for coming. And you get to vote early because you'll vote when no other bastard's around. If you've got to be there, might as well be paid. That's all I have for the election news. And realistically, that's all I have for news. I tried to find some gaming news, but there wasn't anything interesting. I tried to find some space news, and the only thing about that was an asteroid that came to Earth some years ago. They finally realized it didn't come from within our solar system and actually came from fucking intergalactic space or some fucking thing anyway.
Oh my god.
Didn't do anything interesting. No super mutants or nothing yet, so yeah, wasn't worth it. Onto my tips for Young Bucks. So this week, I want to talk about advice. So-called advice with quotation marks from social media channels, magazines, and stuff like that. I've seen quite a fair bit of it. Unfortunately, I now have a few odd videos on the TikTok because someone convinced me that that's a good way to drive traffic past my SoundCloud. I'm not even convinced that actually works. So my TikTok's nothing like everybody else's because everyone else's are interesting and mine are not. But anyway, I could start a new trend of uninteresting TikTok videos. One thing that did come from all of that, and I've seen on Instagram, and I've also seen on Facebook, and I see in many magazines, including men's health magazines, by the way, is the volume and amount of really shitty advice.
Yeah.
Really misinformed bullshit advice. So here's some things I want you to keep in mind when you see a piece of advice on there, whether it be, you know, men's freaking sex fact number 67 or fucking, I don't know, fucking true facts of life number 82 or whatever the fucking hell someone comes up with, right? There's some truth in nearly all of it, but not all truth, right? It's always one directional in that advice. So you've got to take it more holistically and look at it more holistically. No advice is absolutely genuine, right? That all of that stuff, whether it be social media or whether it be magazines, is done to either get likes or sales. That's it.
Yeah.
It's not there to inform you. It's not there to make you a fucking better person. It's there for a purpose, and the purpose isn't you. Most advice misses key elements. So it's very, very isolated, and it misses key elements. And if you miss the key elements inside of the advice you're given, right, you could go horribly wrong. And in the case of magazines, because you can't really do it on social media, is always check the source.
Yeah.
So some of the stuff I found very interesting is one of Australia's top men's health magazines is written almost exclusively by women.
Yeah.
Now, there are some very smart females out there who have a very good understanding of men's health topics, highly trained, highly skilled, and their advice is valid and very good. There's others who are just journalists, and I use that term rather loosely. They're journalists.
Yeah. Right?
They know nothing about men's health or men's facts. They are taking an opinion piece and doing that. So you'll see in a lot of newspaper articles and a lot of magazines articles where it says opinion. When it says opinion, it's only their fucking opinion. It's not truth.
Yeah.
So don't take it as truth. Treat it as one person's opinion, and she probably doesn't know what she's talking about anyway because she's either had one experience or none.
Yeah.
So you always got to be wary of it. And I know there's probably a lot of people going out there going, oh, duh, it's only for social media. You never believe anything. But the more you see something, the more you start to believe it. So just always keep in mind that it's not the whole truth. It's only a tiny smidgen of it.
Oh.
Yeah. Right? So if you read all those sex fact thingies, it's not fucking true, right?
Soap is actually a good lubricant. Who would have thought?
Yeah, yeah. So is methylated spirits, apparently. But I'd keep away from the fucking both of them, right? And there's plenty of stuff like that. It is, some of it is shocking. You just read it and go, utter rubbish.
Stone slabs.
Yeah. Some of it, you want to just put a comment going, that's utter rubbish. But you know, someone else will take it personally and go, I know a person who's the second cousin of my fucking third auntie's fucking fourth child that happened to. It's like, no, you don't know anyone.
It happened to my buddy Eric once.
Huh?
It happened to my buddy Eric once.
I don't even know what that means.
It's just like, I know, it's like somebody says something stupid and then you say like, it happened to my buddy Eric once.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yep, I get you. I get you. Yeah. That's the same as it happened to my cousin's auntie's uncle's child's boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. The same sort of thing, just shorter. Right.
Or you can make a comment saying you're fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And then you get banned.
Yeah. That's incredibly poor advice, and you're misleading the youth into a view that's not fucking entirely accurate.
And then you get banned.
And then I get banned for hate or something.
Little bit of quick social media news. Elon Musk is trying to buy Twitter.
Yes, he is. He is. I don't know how he'll go with that. I reckon they'll say no.
I hope he does, because he's apparently going to make it, you know, better for free speech, which is what it's for. Because at the moment, if you say, I don't know, like, something about politics, you get banned. But if you say, oh, fucking children is fine, you don't.
Yeah. It's very, very, very misaligned with the reality of things. I hope he does. I hope it's successful. It'll be interesting to see whether, you know, because any social media platform, right, any smaller one, other than like Facebook or something, and Twitter is much smaller than Facebook, any of those would take 10 billion.
Yeah.
You'd take it. You're fucking done, mate. It's fucking, you'd be like that fucking circus owner from Madagascar, fucking 3 or whatever it is, right? You just hand the fucking certificate over for the circus and run with your clowns, because you've just landed a lemon on someone else's fucking desk, right? They take it, but if they don't, then there's agenda behind that, is my view.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Hopefully he does. Fucking, there'll be just shit ton of dudes with rocket launchers and fucking flamethrowers and shit screamed America. Like, we would have just become. But anyway, hopefully it does happen. On to the Stoic quote. And I had to read this one a few times myself before I could read it aloud, because it's typical of Marcus Aurelius in that time. It's sort of backwards. And the quote is this: the needs of a happy life are very few.
You don't need a lot to actually live happy.
Exactly. Yeah. That's pretty well exactly what it is. Yes. The difference between, you know, what people perceive to be a happy life, you know, like when you're younger, you perceive to be a happy life. You look at older people and stuff like that who do have happy lives, and you see them with a whole fuckload of shit, and you go, fuck, the only way to be happy is have a whole stack load of stuff. Not quite so. They probably have a stack load of stuff for their successes, and as an output of their happy life, but that's not what got them there. So a happy life only needs very few. The needs are minimal.
Yeah.
And you can go from having a happy life to an unhappy one with simply having too many needs.
Yeah.
And not being able to fulfill everything, right? So too much debt, too much commitment to work and not to life. Too much commitment to life and not to work, right? If you haven't got the balance right, then you're going to be screwed. So the needs of a happy life are very few. Right. That's all going well. On to Australia's Prime Ministers. So we're now up to number 19. We're now up to Ben Chifley.
No idea who that is.
Okay, you don't know Ben Chifley. That's cool. You'll probably know him a bit more once I'm finished. He's got more of a career than old Frankie Ford from last week, by a fair margin. So, Ben Chifley was born in Bathurst, New South Wales. He's a Bathurst boy in 1885. His father was a blacksmith. Parents were of Irish descent. So his mother was born in Ireland. His father was born in Australia.
Yeah.
At age 5, he was sent to work on his grandfather's farm. So that would have sucked. He attended a half-time school. So out in regional and country areas at that point in time, there wasn't enough students to have school full-time.
Yeah.
So a teacher would do like half of the school week at one school and another half at another school in some other town. So he went to school only part-time.
Yeah.
While he was there, and he stayed there until age 13. His grandfather then passed away, and the farm was sold off. So he went back to Bathurst at age 13 and went to a boys' school while he was there. Left school at age 15 and worked as a cashier at a local department store. So, I don't know, local buyers or something. I don't know what was there at the time. but he worked as a cashier. When he turned 18, when he was 18, he got a job working on the railway. So the New South Wales Government Railway.
Yeah.
Got a job working as a shop boy in the locomotive shed. Worked his way up through the next few years through being, you know, like the engineer and the dude who shovels coal and I don't know what locomotives they had. So anyway, he worked his way up and became a engine driver in 1914.
Yeah.
And started driving engines on the railroad. Whilst part of that, he became part of the Locomotive Engine Association, which was effectively a union. Was involved in the local paper, which was basically an outlet for, you know, labour views and stuff like that, as was the way in some of those country newspapers. He ran for Parliament on several occasions after 1914, but wasn't successful. He either didn't get preferred by the Labour Party, or he didn't actually get enough votes.
Yeah.
He didn't beat the guy who was already there. In 1928, though, he was successful. So he ran as the Labour candidate for Macquarie and was successful in 1928, getting into Parliament. In 1929, there was another election because of all the conflicts in Parliament at the time, and he was successful again in 29. He didn't get a cabinet position, though, until 1931, when he became the Minister for Defence in 1931. So he became the Minister for Defence under... Fuck, I can't remember whose government now. Anyway, never mind, can't remember. Not going to dwell on it. But he didn't get re-elected in 1931. So Labour suffered a big massive loss in 31. He was part of that. The years after that, he suffered right through the crux of the Great Depression. He had no job, no money coming in from government because he wasn't working for him anymore. Couldn't get a job back as a train driver because that had been evaporated away and he wasn't able to.
Yeah.
He lived off his wife's family's money and the money he got from the newspaper that he partially owned out in Bathurst. So struggled right through that year, and he didn't get back into Parliament until 1940.
Yeah.
So another 9 years before he got back into Parliament. And that was on Curtin's government.
Yeah.
So he was appointed treasurer in 1941 by Curtin himself. A role which he held until Curtin's death in 1945.
Yeah.
So following Curtin's death, he beat old Frankie Ford at the ballot,
yeah,
and became Prime Minister. Oh. Here's where it gets really hectic, because that wasn't hectic enough. Between 1946 and 1949, his government passed 299 acts.
Jesus.
A number, that was a record for the time.
Yeah.
Took a while for that to be beaten. And some of the stuff they got through in that period of time, they got through universal healthcare, which was the precursor and I guess the driver for the pharmaceutical benefit scheme, which is still in effect today.
Yeah.
He got through changes to benefits, particularly around disability benefits and stuff like that, maternity benefits, and got changed and whatnot. He established a separate Australian citizenship. So at that point in time, we sort of had a British fucking type citizenship thing.
Yeah.
Got the actual Australian citizenship up. Freaking what else did he do? He formed the Australian Security Intelligence Organisation, so ASIO, which is still around now.
Oh.
He did that. I think that was in like 47 or 48 or something. Looking thing. Anyway, he established the Australian National University in order to drive Australian research and university development in Australia with CSIRO. Put in place the post-war immigration scheme, the Snowy Mountains scheme, which was the hydro scheme. He put forward and was successful, it was the nationalisation of Qantas. So that was effectively taking a private company that was Qantas and making it government-owned.
Yeah.
He put forward the nationalisation of all banks, so that all banks would become owned by government,
yeah,
not be private. That went to High Court and had all sorts of issues. So he did all of that in that period of time. He also had to deal with the 1948 Queensland rail strike. So there was a very big strike here in Queensland. It's Queensland rail strike. They wanted better wages, conditions, et cetera, as they do when they strike.
Yeah.
He just basically told them they were all a bunch of communists. And it's just driving a communist agenda and blah, 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 and told them they're not getting any unemployment benefits while they're out on strike. They're getting no dosh, no dough, get the fuck back to work. Didn't go down too well at that period of time. Because at that period of time, the Cold War was starting to become a thing.
Yeah.
Right, so the hysteria around Cold War was on the rise, and there was a lot of discussion around it, so there was a lot of pushback.
Anti-communist.
Anti-communist stuff, you know, Menzies pushed it quite well, you know, that whole anti-communist stuff. And because of that, they lost the 1949 election. They lost power in the House of Representatives. They retained power in the Senate, but only for about another year before Menzies called a double disillusion on them because they weren't getting anywhere, and basically got an election redone, and that was the end of that. So he stopped being Prime Minister in 1949 because of those elements, and he passed away in 1951.
Oh.
Yeah. So his health really deteriorated after 49 because he's already in his 60s.
Yeah.
And his health deteriorated. He passed away in 1951. Oh. So that's the life and times in a very, very quick nutshell of Ben Chifley. So whilst it's only, you know, 3 years, I think it's three and a half years or something in total or something like that, there was a lot of things he put in place.
Yeah.
That set modern Australia up for what it is now. You know, like the Snowy Hydro scheme, you know, the Snowy Mountain scheme, that's where all the dams are and the hydro is and stuff like that. That was quite revolutionary for its time. And it was a very, very, very big task. I think your grandfather on your mum's side, so Poppy Ron worked on the hydro.
Oh.
As well as worked in coal mines and type of stuff and many, many hard things. I think that's why he got in so many fights. But he worked on the hydro. I think we've got pictures of him.
Yeah.
Even up on the hydro. So and yeah, you know, and some of the nationalization stuff they did. You know, there's a lot of things in there that established and paved the way from there. And to do 299 acts in 3 years is a fucking lot of work.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's like, you know, probably like 20 or 30 each session that they go to. They've got to put for people have been fucking reading their fucking eyes out trying to get all that shit through.
Yeah.
So it is a fair bit of work to put that effort in during that time. So that's an accomplishment unto itself, even if it has been beaten since, I think. But it's still a big accomplishment.
Yeah.
For that time.
Isn't Australia... are we not even capitalist? We're like a sort of a mix of capitalist and communist, but in a good way. Like the government doesn't just like...
I think we're more socialist, maybe.
Socialist.
I don't know.
I know, because isn't like... isn't Federation... isn't that its own thing? Or is it...
well, we're a federation, yes.
Is that like a type of...
Well, a federation is different. Well, yeah. How do I explain the federation? Because we got all the different states in Australia, right, that have their own parliament, their own legislation powers. The federation is all those states coming together and actually having a overarching federal
position. Because I'm talking about economic system.
That's yeah.
It. But then
yeah.
Federation is like a...
Federation is a political sort of...
See, like federation...
governance.
Monarchies.
Yeah.
What's America? There are...
I don't know what they are. Well, they just say they're United States. It wouldn't be a federation, I don't think. I'm not sure what America are, to be honest.
They are... oh, so they're... they're a federation as well.
Yeah, yeah. So they would be a whole stack load of states agreeing to work under a national system.
Because it used to be Confederation.
Yeah.
But now it's just Federation.
Yeah.
They got rid of con.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's conning too many people.
So this is, in Australia, we use market capitalist system.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are capitalists. I thought we were.
No, because we're not really communist. There's certain areas of the place that do work a bit communist, right? We do just pool resources and we share things and work together, but it's not actually all controlled by the government. Probably in our earlier days, we're probably closer to communism than we are now.
Yeah.
Where government had control of quite a lot of stuff, but now it's capitalist. Like, you know, very little is owned by the government. Nearly everything is owned by a business or a party or a person.
Yeah, we are capitalist. Because I thought we were some sort of mix that was like, you know, poor people got stuff, but then so did, like, it was like everyone got stuff, but then it wasn't really fully socialist, and you know, you still get paid for hard work, but then you can still get stuff if you're poor.
Yeah.
Because the government does sort of help the poor more than like America or something. I think.
Yeah, yeah. We have a greater benefit scheme than what.
Yeah,
most other nations, though, you know, equivalent to us, do. Australia are very fortunate because we have public health systems.
Yeah.
So you know, you can go and see a doctor without needing to pay if you really, really need to.
Yeah.
You know, some do charge, which you get some money back, but you can, you know, go to some. Emergency healthcare is free. There's some dental that's free. Some optical stuff that's free. You know, you can go private health insurance, which we have, which is a different step again. But, you know, we also have access to, you know, the pharmaceutical benefit scheme makes medications cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, because it's offset. We have, you know, Centrelink, which provides payments and support for people. You know, so if you're unemployed or you're going to school full time and living by yourself, you'll get money to help you live.
I'll live off the Centrelink payments.
Yeah, yeah, and I've done that. I've lived off the Centrelink payments. And I lived off them during a time where it wasn't much.
Yeah.
You know, my fortnightly money was gone by the time I got home, pretty well.
Yeah.
So I would go and get my fortnightly Centrelink check after filling out my form and walking around and getting people to sign to say I've asked for a job there. I take my handwritten form back to the Centrelink office, not fucking like it is modern day today. And I would get, I think it was like $80 or $90 a fortnight.
Oh.
Or something. My rent was $60.
Yeah.
A fortnight. That's after doing like, you know, I think about 12 or 14 hours or something a week working at the caravan park to offset that. So I emptied all the garbage bins, did mowing, you know, raked up leaves, cleaned toilets, showers.
Yeah.
Helped with those things, those types of stuff. It's after that, which only left me about $30 or so
for food for a
fortnight. Yeah. Which I was able to do.
Yeah,
it was tough. But I was able to do it. I was able to get my Happy Meal. I got my Happy Meal each fortnight because that's all I could really afford was a Happy Meal. It's my Happy Meal, and then I would go and do my grocery shopping, and that would generally get me really close to lasting a fortnight.
Yeah.
Sometimes near the end, you know, it would be pieces of toast, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah.
Or I'd run out of toast and just have like Vegemite for breakfast or something, right? Yeah. Sometimes you ran out, right? It's just how it is. And sometimes old people will leave you food.
Yeah.
They felt sorry for me, so they would leave me food. The oldies at the caravan park would leave me dinner, which the possums ate sometimes. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But there's all those things that are in place in Australia that we are very fortunate we have.
Because if we were living in America, I don't think there would be. You'd have like no money.
You'd have next to nothing. You'd be living off like food stamps and you know whatever money you could come across. Right? It's not a very nice way to live. Right? Yeah. You got to get your ass a job and you got to keep working. And even then, you could have a full time job and not afford a home. Much more difficult for that to happen here. Not impossible, but much more difficult to be in a circumstance where you have a job and can't afford it somewhere to live. You could always afford somewhere to live. It might not be great or perfect or you know, nice, but you would have a roof over your head.
Yeah.
Right. In America, both people could be working a full-time job and you still can't afford a place.
Yeah.
Depending on where you live, that's really fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And that's something that they need to address. But that's the systems countries live by.
Yeah.
You know, that's just how it is. So that's a somber note to finish on. But I don't really have anything else. So that's all we're going to have for this episode. You got anything else?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
I've been thinking lately about the GR, new GR Corolla.
Mm-hmm.
I just really don't like how it looks.
I thought you did like how it looked. I thought you said it looked good.
Well, it's all right, but I've been looking at it more, and I just don't like it, okay? Because I've seen there's a pretty decently sized community out there of people who have the current normal Corolla.
Yep.
And they're like, you know, they bag it. There's this nice aftermarket, like, quad exhaust system you can get for it. And it looks really nice. It's got a sort of like an angle on the tips. So it flows with the rear end of the car. You know, the front of that car looks pretty good, I reckon.
Yep.
Especially when you slam it or whatever.
Yep.
The Geo Corolla, the front grille it's a complete square.
Yeah.
But then all the car's all curvy and, you know, futuristic, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the rear end has this big plastic rectangle on the back. And it's got some, like, Civic Type R 3 exhaust shit.
Yeah.
But it's not even in, like, a group. It's, like, you have two little tiny ones on the sides and one big-ass one in the middle.
Yeah.
And I just don't like how it looks at all.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't complement the car.
The front of that new Corolla reminds me of, like, an Australia Post parcel that's just been kicked to shit and left on someone's front yard.
That's what the new Corolla looks like.
Because it's meant to be, the box is meant to be square.
Yeah.
But all the edges are all bashed in and rounded, and it's got dints in it where it shouldn't have, and it all looks really odd. And you're like, I know that should be a nice, clean, linear thing, and it's not. And that's what that car reminds me of. It's like, there's bits that are straight, there's bits that are bent and bashed up and curled, and there's freaking angles and lines, and there's another fucking grill for no apparent reason. And
because
it's just crazy.
They've done something that I just, like, I feel like they've done, you know, the whole GR look, but it just doesn't really suit the car.
Yeah.
I reckon with the Yaris it was alright, but with this one it's just, hope they do a facelift or something and improve it. I just don't like it personally, but
they probably could have done more to just, you know, amp up the current shaped front.
I feel like the rear end's just lazy.
Yeah. The rear end's like a Civic.
Yeah.
Like the older Civic rear end, it's just like, oh, fuck it, we'll just fit it with some tailpipes. I don't know how many, just fucking like 8. No, make it 9. That way it's all uneven and we have to put one in the middle.
It's got that whole, like, it's just a square piece of, like, shitty plastic above it.
Yeah.
It's not even a bumper.
No. It's just a, it's like it's, they've tried to make, like, a rear diffuser or something, or a splitter.
I mean, it does make it look larger, but it just doesn't look nice.
No. It just, yeah.
Yeah. I really don't like it. No. But it's probably going to be a good car. It's probably going to be the best three-cylinder. Because at the moment, the only other good three-cylinders are the 2021 Fiesta ST and maybe like a VRS Fabia, one of the three-cylinder ones, maybe.
Yeah. But other than that, there's not many. Anyway, we'll see what happens when it comes. It might be a good car to drive. Just don't stand there and look at it. Just stay inside it all the time.
Because I reckon the Yaris looks all right.
Yeah.
And that's a good car. That was really good. The GR Supra, I like the look of. Yep. I reckon everyone sort of likes it, except some people who complain it's a BMW.
But they're just going to keep doing that because they just
cry about it.
Yeah. They just want to cry. They just want to moan. Can't do much of any people.
Not even
like
it's like that bad for being like a BMW engine, because it still has like a straight six.
Yeah.
Because look at the GTR.
Yeah.
The Skyline GTR's had an inline six, but now it's got a V6. This is still a coupe, the same sort of shape. Now it's still manual, and there's an automatic.
Mm-hmm.
Still an inline six. Still, I don't know.
And you could have worse. You could have worse engines.
Yeah, right? They could put a.
You could put fucking, like, you could go and put some shitty Holden fucking six cylinder in there, right? That won't even move it. I wouldn't complain if someone went, "Oh, here's a new car and it looks fantastic. It's got a BMW engine in it." I go, "Oh."
It's going to leak. That's a terrible car.
I mean, it's going to burn oil, and it's probably going to leak a bit, but their six-cylinder engines do go really well.
Yeah, look like the E36 and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you just got to make sure you're nearby to a servo to put more oil in it. That's all. Right? That's not a bad thing. Right? You're keeping the oil industry going. just with one GR. But, you know, anyway, don't complain.
I saw for sale, it was a Capri. It was an old Ford Capri.
Yep.
The Mark 1 with the square headlights.
Mm-hmm.
And it had it's an old Holden V8 swapped into a Ford.
What's it got, like a 308 in it?
Yeah, it's a authentic Holden 308.
Shit Holden 308.
Isn't that just a Chevy engine? But
no.
It's called a Holden?
Well, I don't know. I think the 308 might have been
Holden.
A Holden engine, the 308.
Why did you put that in a Ford?
Because you know, your 350s are your Chevys.
Yeah.
But a 308. But I don't know why you put that in a Ford. I don't know why you wouldn't put a 302.
Yeah, just put a Boss engine in it.
Even put an old Cleveland or an old Windsor in it. Like,
yeah. Why'd you put a Holden engine in it?
It's just stupid. That ruins a Capri.
Yeah. Because
Capri's already a really nice little car.
Because it was the six-cylinder one. It was the V6 one.
Yeah, yeah.
But they put the Holden V8 in it.
See, I wouldn't have done that. I would have put like a Ford V8 in it.
Yeah.
I really would. Or I would have like gone like completely silly and put like the V6 from like they use in the GT40 or something.
Yeah. If you can somehow get one.
If you can somehow get one, chuck one of those in it. That would mince the 308.
I put a Barra in it.
You put a Barra in it.
Turbo Barra.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Oh, what was I gonna say?
But that's really poor to chuck a 308. I'm not a big fan when they put either when they swap the manufacturers on engines.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like seeing a Holden with a Ford engine. I think that's a waste of a Ford engine. I don't like seeing a Ford with a Holden engine. I think that's a waste of a Ford body. So I just don't like it when they swap it over.
To be a little bit more fair, it was apparently tuned by the guys who made like supercar Holden V8s. The ones that won fucking some race. I was talking to someone really, really recently, and he's a Commodore fan. Mm. And it seems like Commodore fans really like to bring up that they've won Bathurst more. That's the only redeeming quality about that, guys. They've won Bathurst more, and the AU looks bad.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's the only argument.
Yeah, it's one race of an entire season throughout an entire year. It's like, we won Bathurst more. Yes, but you've lost more championships.
They just like to bring up the AU that didn't win and it looks bad. Ignore every single other Ford exist. It's just the AU's shit.
Yeah, yeah. and the AU's struggled in comparison to, you know, the Commodores at the time.
Yeah.
It struggled.
VT or something.
And yeah. And I really don't think, and this is me probably being a little bit mean in the current supercars setup, but once they went to the next gen chassis, so now they are not Fords and Holdens.
It's Chevys and American Fords.
Well, yeah, but even then, the cars have the same roll cage, the same floor pan, they have the same brakes, same suspension. Like they're not different. It's not like you take the wheels off it and you go, oh, look at all the Ford badges under this. You look underneath it and go, the fuck is that manufacturer?
Yeah.
Like the engines are about the only thing that are manufacturer specific, be it Chevy or be it Ford. And when Nissan and Merc was in there, they had theirs.
Yeah.
But they had to be homologated. They had to be aligned to the tuning regulations, fuel regulations, timing, all that type of stuff. It's not like you've gone and just gone, fuck it, we'll grab a Coyote engine and chuck it in a supercar and fucking tune the shit out of it so it makes like 2,000 horsepower and go from there. Like, they're fucking 500 horsepower or something. Like, they're not.
Did they have a FGX supercar?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's got a Mustang engine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got the Coyote.
Yeah. But it was still had to be, you know, effectively tuned down to meet regulations.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, just what got out of the box. And the same with the Holden engines, and the same with the American Chevy engines. You know, and then when you go to Gen 3 next year, it's going to be worse even again. It's basically going to be Trans Am series.
Yeah.
When the Gen 3s come out. So I think, you know, ever since they went away from the Group A's, ever since they went away from the actual, it's the actual body of the car, and they've had to make that Commodore into a fucking Commodore supercar, and the same with the Falcons, it's like a normal body,
yeah,
and do it. It's not the same now. You know, it's a money and time and engineering can win, right? And you look at the cars that have won fucking Bathurst predominantly and dominated. It's been the big fucking teams with a whole shitload of money.
Yeah.
Because they can engineer the shit out of everything. And you got to go fucking, you know, you got to go and do 1,000 Ks. Right? You got to do 1,000 Ks around Bathurst.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that if you can't afford sandwiches. Right? You got to be able to have dough to go and race.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, your Red Bulls of the world have dominated Bathurst. They've got the fucking money to.
Yeah. They do F1 and then they sell, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how many Red Bulls a day in like South America.
Oh, they've got the sponsorship money. They've got, you know, the team build. They've got all the resources and tools at their disposal. They have huge amounts of facility. You know, they've got all sorts of stuff. You look at some of those other teams.
Look at like Shell. This is fucking like Coles trying to race or something like.
Yeah, yeah. and you look at, you know, some of the other teams. They've got even less. Yeah. Now, some of them are one-car teams.
Yeah.
Like, how can you go and win Bathurst as a one-car team? How are you going to engineer the car and have enough time testing the car to get the parts to last 1,000 Ks at speed, right? You might last 1,000 Ks, but you're not going to do it at speed.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to look at it more holistically. And yes, the Commodore has won more, but Bathurst has been going a lot longer than the fucking Commodore's been around.
Yeah.
And the broader numbers are probably a little bit different to that.
If they didn't ban the R32, that probably would have won more than the Commodore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they had to fucking ban it to stop it from beating everybody. you know, it was the monster killer. It fucking dominated fucking Bathurst because big whopping turbo, nice long fucking straight. See you later.
Yeah.
We're fucking gone. And they had to, same as the Cosworths, had to ban them.
Oh, did they ban the Cosworth?
Yeah, yeah.
The Sierra Cosworth.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh?
It's too fast and too good.
Screw Holden versus Ford. It's all about Godzilla versus the Sierra.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you look at some of the older Group A's and stuff, older Bathurst, and there were, you know, Cosworths and Jags and fucking, like, all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
Racing there. And that's changed over the years till effectively now you have two manufacturers and cars that if you took the stickers off and you took the front bumpers off would be exactly the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's effectively, no, you took all the plastic panels and fiberglass panels and carbon fiber panels off that car and all you would have is a roll cage and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
So they're not different cars.
I saw this sort of thing about, I think it was like an animation of putting together, like, I think it was NASCAR.
Mm.
The next gen NASCAR.
Yep.
And like the roll cage or whatever it was,
yep,
for the Camaro was just like a square. And it was probably exactly the same for the Mustang,
yep,
exactly the same for the Camry.
Yep.
It was all the same, different,
yep,
bodies.
Yep. Yep. And look, they do it for a reason, right? They do it because it levels the playing field. It can make it cheaper for other people to enter motorsport, and that's fantastic. But you can't call them a truly branded car when they're not.
Yeah.
Right? You might as well take all the fucking badges off them, do them at some weird fucking light shape and make them some sort of weird-ass prototype and just run a prototype series and just do whatever's.
Yeah.
Which I think Gen 3 will sort of bring, because when you go to Gen 3, you can start running turbocharged 4s and stuff like that.
No.
I don't think anyone will.
Honda's going to come in.
You could. Like, the only way you do it is somehow find a way to create genuine speed in a car on a really, really hard tire, have the four-cylinder turbocharged engine, and run it at Bathurst and try and not fucking stop. Right, that's just your go.
Yeah.
But you even look at Bathurst now, there's minimum pit stops. It's good. I think last year you had to do 7 pit stops. Right, that's plenty enough to put fuel in the car and do what you need to do. Right, you could easily do it. Years ago, it was you just fucking race and you stop as you need to, and you put what fuel on you need to, and you put what tires on you need to, and you just race. Now it's like minimum amount of fucking fuel and so many fuel stops and so many sets of tires, and it's like, well, fuck, it's not a, you can't go and do a big, you can't do a big fuel economy run, right? Like I like to do in Gran Turismo sometimes on longer races, turn the fuel right down so you don't need to stop. You can't do that. You still got to stop seven times. You still got to put on a minimum amount of fuel. So yeah, you can't properly try and, you know, strategize and beat anyone. You just, it's like, fuck it, we've all got to stop seven times. When he stops, I'll stop.
It's just all the same. There's no actual like change. I don't know. It's just, I mean,
you've got some setup and you've got, you know, suspension setup, tire setups and stuff you can change, tire pressures you can change, some of your downforce stuff you can change. You've got
the better driver, I guess.
And it just comes down to whoever can be the most consistent and, you know, finish first.
Yeah.
It's just the end of it. And sometimes that can be entertaining, but it's sort of becoming a bit less now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone runs a very similar strategy. Everyone runs a very similar thing. They're all going to come in roughly at the same time. It's little bits of gain with overlap on tires. And, you know, years ago, you'd need to get to the last pit stop before you knew who was going to win, because everyone was all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
You know, some guys hadn't stopped for 40 laps. There's other ones that kept stopping every 10. You don't know who's got tires, who's got fuel. You didn't know until, and the last stop would happen and then the whole fucking order would change. So, you know, I think it's sort of just losing it a bit for me. I haven't watched a race this year.
Yeah.
And I didn't really watch any races last year. Which is sad, but you never know. You never know what Gen 3 will bring.
It's kind of sad for me because, you know, I used to be like, oh, Dad's watching the Supercars. I can't play on the PlayStation. Yeah. And now it's like, well, I want to watch it.
Yeah, Dad's not watching the Supercars. Damn it.
But there's no Falcons or Commodores. It's just fucking American dispute of, oh, Chevy's going to win this one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're still using, Holden decided to, or Chevy decided to run the Holden body again this year.
Yeah.
So still running the same Holden body as last year.
Looks like shit.
Yeah. Ford's still running the same Mustang body from last year, which doesn't look like a genuine Mustang because that shape it over the sedan body.
Yeah.
So the bonnet's really weird and curvy and the roof line looks odd. It's just like, the fucking thing looks like an AU that's a Mustang. Like, it's all round and shit.
It's weird.
Yeah. So hopefully when they go to Gen 3 and they go to a coupe roll cage, they'll actually be able to make it look like a proper Mustang, stretch it out a bit and take those curves out of it. I don't know. I might watch some later this year. I don't know.
Back to the AU, though. I'm pretty sure in another 50 years, there's going to be a lot more AUs around than there is VTs. Because, yes, the AU looks like shit.
Yeah.
To every Commodore fan. Yes, it didn't win. Yes, it's slow.
Mm.
But it's fucking hell of a lot more reliable. That's why people love it.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very hard to kill one of those six-cylinder engines.
You can put fucking millions of Ks into one of those intakes.
Yeah. I've seen some that are like 400,000, 500,000 Ks. Still cracking.
Yeah.
Right? A lot more good tail. A good way to judge it is by the cabbies. And at the time when the AUs are out, there was a fucking lot more cabbies in AUs than there were in Commodores.
Because you look at, like, the VT. A lot more. And, like, yeah, it's got a, you know, you can get the fucking, what is their version of a Fairmont?
Oh, like the Calais or something.
Yeah, you can get a Calais with a LS.
Yeah.
Fucking just get a Corvette.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want an LS. And not like LSs are, you know, reliable.
Yeah.
They're GM engines. Yeah. They're fucking not going to last long.
No. And those six-cylinder Ford engines have been around forever and a day.
Yeah, they had time to, like, perfect it.
Yeah, yeah, they're strong. They'll keep working.
Imagine if they perfected the Barra. Because, you know, Barra's probably got its problems. I reckon it's pretty all right, though, but it's probably not as reliable as the Intake. Yeah. But they only had probably, I think I did the calculations, they only had, like, 16 to 17 years with the Barra.
Yep.
The Intake probably had, like, when did they start using that? The 80s?
Oh, before that, 70s. 70s, yeah. The block started in around the 60s, the block.
Yeah.
And it developed over time and change of heads and stuff like that. But yeah, the base of the engine's been around since the 60s.
So they've had like 40 years to...
Yeah, 50.
Yeah, probably 40 years to perfect that.
Yeah, yeah. They've had a long fucking time to perfect that engine. And it's had its ups and downs. Yeah. The crossflies that I had, like the crossfly I had in my XD, those crossflies had their issues.
Yeah.
You couldn't stop them hot. You had to let them cool down a bit before turning them off. You stopped it, dead stopped it when it was hot. The exhaust manifold would be so hot it would vaporize the fuel in the intake manifold, and then the car wouldn't start.
Oh.
Because it vaporized all the fuel. So, yeah, trying to get more fuel through it, but it was already still hot. So, any fuel you put into it, it would just vaporize.
Yeah.
And it sort of wouldn't start if it was turned off too hot.
Oh.
And then, you know, a few other issues and gremlins and stuff. But they've perfected it over the time. You get to the AUs and it's, I mean, the car looks like a goose, but the engine's
strong. I reckon normal AUs, they can look good. You can make them look good now.
Yeah. The Fortes didn't look too bad. And when you got into like the Fairmonts and stuff.
Fairmonts, yeah.
They looked good.
The circle headlights, I only liked them because of nostalgia.
Yeah,
because if we had it, yeah. If we didn't used to have one, I'd probably be like, it's kind of ugly, not gonna lie. Even for some of like the 90s with those circle headlights, it just, they did a much better job with the XRs than like the BAs.
Yeah.
Where it was sort of circle, but it wasn't really circle. That was just Ford in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Even like the earlier Escort RS Cosworths had that.
Yeah.
And then they just went to a full headlight and it was like, this is a lot nicer.
Yeah, they tried to go sporty and put round headlights on it. It's like, why? Just leave the normal lights on.
Look at the Fox body. They had the first version that had like square quarter headlights, and they went to the big ones and looked a lot cleaner.
Yeah,
looked a lot nicer.
Yep.
With the Fox body, it kind of from certain angles looks like a coupe VK or something like that.
Mm.
Commodore almost. Like the tail lights with this, you know, really square, long design on the back, and then the front end having the really big headlights.
Yeah.
It's like, sometimes I'm going to be like, is that, that's a Fox body. Yeah, that's not that going on. Whoops.
Yeah. It's some of the designs, you know, they all try and copy each other a little bit, and they all try and outdo each other a little bit, so sometimes the designs get close.
When the EBs were around, I already told you this.
Yeah.
Same Commodore, I don't know what it was, of the same era, they have like the exact same taillights.
Yeah, like the VN, VL.
Yeah, I can't tell the difference until I look at the front.
Yeah, yeah.
Which even, they were still, it was really sort of plain, but you could tell more of a difference.
Yeah, yeah, it was same sort of shape, it's just one was more coloured and the other one was a little bit more
clear. Another way to tell was the rear guards, rear fenders or whatever, of the Commodore.
Yeah.
They had that weird design where they like cut off the rear fender and turned it into a bumper, and it looked fucking weird.
Yeah.
It's like the exact middle of the fender had a line through it.
Yeah.
Massive panel gap.
Yeah.
It's
ugly. Yeah. 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 I don't know what they went for there, but
it's for cooling. It's to let more smoke through when you're doing a fucking burnout in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. It's just, it makes the smoke plumes come out nicer. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all.
Leave it there before I keep ranting.
Yeah,
you'll
keep ranting for AUs. Everyone will tune out after another 4 minutes.
I could rant about all the Holden versus Ford stuff. I can see myself in like 60 years. I'm going to be one of those old guys who's like, fucking Holden's shit. I'm Ford away. Yeah. And I've got garage full of Ford flags and stuff. Yeah, yeah. I've got like an XY.
Ford tattoo on your arm and everything. Have this like immaculate AU sitting in the garage.
Like dead stock.
Yep.
Fairmont.
Yep. That would be funny. It's probably going to be true though.
Yeah. I mean, all right then. Whatever.
Yeah, if that's the fate, so be it. All right. Well, that's about it from us. We'll wrap it up there before we continue with the AU conversations. We will speak to you all again next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.